I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
I didn't know that this morning when I woke up that I'll be in this detention facility here, that I would end up incarcerated for something that I believe is my democratic right to show up and speak out against what I think was happening there, a violation of city and state laws and a lack of transparency.
That's Newark Mayor Ross Baraka, the mayor of the largest city in New Jersey. He was arrested Friday and detained by masked federal immigration police when he joined three Democratic Congress members set to tour a newly reopened private 1,000-bed Immigration and Customs Enforcement jail. We'll speak to Mayor Baraka, as well as one of the three New Jersey Congress members who tried to prevent his arrest, Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman. The 80-year-old cancer survivor now faces arrest herself. Then to Aboubakar Abed, the 22-year-old Palestinian accidental war correspondent. We last spoke to him in Gaza, suffering from malnutrition.
There's no food available. A lot of people are being taken to the hospital to receive treatment where doctors cannot really give the proper treatment for them, and the medications are not available. Israel has been blocking the two crossings, not allowing one single truck into Gaza. And that has really left people on the cusp of imminent death.
As hunger engulfs the Gaza Strip due to Israel's total blockade on aid, we speak with Aboubakar Abed in Dublin, Ireland, which has given him a scholarship to study as he heals. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A leading global hunger monitor is warning Gaza's entire population is facing a critical risk of famine, with over 500,000 Palestinians already facing starvation. The report by the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification comes as Israel's full blockade of Gaza enters its 10th week. Over the weekend, Israel carried out numerous strikes across the Gaza Strip. Earlier today, Israel bombed a school-turned-shelter in the Jabalia area, killing 12 Palestinians, including at least 5 children and 4 women. Meanwhile, a United Nations Special Committee has warned the world could be witnessing, quote, another Nakba, as Israel moves to forcibly displace Palestinians in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. Despite the ongoing attacks, Palestinians in Gaza say they refuse to leave their homes.
We will not immigrate from Gaza, no matter how difficult the circumstances. Even if there's killings, even if there's bombings, if there's no medicine, no food, nothing to drink, no clothing and no shelter, we are not leaving the Gaza Strip. If they are betting on our departure, no. The world might vanish, leave. The fish might migrate from the sea, but we will not immigrate.
At the time of this broadcast, Hamas is about to release the Israeli-American hostage Edan Alexander following direct negotiations with the Trump administration. Alexander is believed to be the last living American hostage in Gaza. In his first Sunday address, Pope Leo XIV called for a ceasefire in Gaza and Ukraine as part of a broader anti-war message. The Pope spoke from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica.
I am deeply saddened by what is happening in the Gaza Strip. Let the fire cease immediately. Let humanitarian aid be provided to the exhausted civilian population, and may all hostages be freed.
A U.S. brokered ceasefire between India and Pakistan continues to hold following the worst outbreak in fighting in decades between the two nuclear countries over Kashmir. President Trump announced the ceasefire Saturday. Top military officials from India and Pakistan are expected to speak today. During 4 days of fighting, dozens of people were reportedly killed on both sides. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has challenged Russian President Vladimir Putin to meet him Thursday in Istanbul, Turkey, for face-to-face peace talks. Zelensky made the announcement Sunday.
I will be in Turkey this Thursday, May 15th, and I'm expecting Putin in Turkey, personally. I hope this time Putin will not look for reasons why he can't do something. We are ready to talk to end the war, Thursday, Turkey. President Trump supported it. All leaders support it.
This comes as a group of European nations have called for Russia to immediately agree to a 30-day ceasefire in Ukraine or face new sanctions. The Trump administration initially appeared to support the European proposal, but on Sunday, President Trump backed away from it. The Kremlin has not said if Putin has plans to go to Turkey Thursday. In news from Washington, D.C., House Republicans have released a plan for sweeping cuts to Medicaid to help cover the cost of $4.5 trillion in tax breaks for the rich. The Congressional Budget Office projects the $880 billion in cuts would cause 8.6 million people to become uninsured. Part of the Republican plan also calls for new work requirements for many Medicaid recipients. Senator Bernie Sanders responded by writing, quote, "This is what oligarchy is about. The very rich get richer. The poor lose health care. Outrageous," he wrote. On Friday, federal agents arrested the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, Mayor Ross Baraka, on trespassing charges after he joined a congressional delegation to inspect a privately run ICE immigration jail in Newark owned by GEO Group. Baraka, who's running for New Jersey governor, was held for 5 hours. The Department of Homeland Security has also threatened to arrest the three Democratic lawmakers who visited the ICE jail, LaMonica McIver, Bonnie Watson-Coleman, and Rob Menendez. A DHS spokesperson said more arrests are still on the table. The ACLU of New Jersey described the arrest and threats as a, quote, shameful escalation of the Trump administration's intimidation campaign against officials who refuse to do their bidding, unquote. We'll speak to Newark Mayor Ross Baraka and Congressmember Bonnie Watson-Coleman after headlines. Mass ICE raids are continuing across the U.S. In Tennessee, over 100 people were arrested in a joint operation between immigration agents and the Highway Patrol. Advocates say the Highway Patrol is aiding federal agents in racially profiling Tennessee residents, intimidating people into self-deporting and stoking fear in immigrant communities. In Worcester, Massachusetts, hundreds of community members gathered Sunday to protest the recent ICE detainment of at least two residents whose arrest has provoked outrage online. Among other things, a video of the chaotic arrest shows police restraining the distressed teenage daughter of an arrested woman, pushing the girl's face to the ground as she screamed. There are mounting reports of ICE raids in California, including in farmworker towns like Oxnard, where federal agents last week surrounded an undocumented father and his two children in a truck before detaining the father, forcing him to leave his children behind. This all comes as judges warn Trump's mass deportation plans are eroding due process and other fundamental rights. Reagan-appointed U.S. District Judge J. Harvey Wilkinson warned, quote, "If today the executive claims the right to deport without due process and in disregard of court orders, what assurance will there be tomorrow that it will not deport American citizens, then disclaim responsibility to bring them home?" Unquote. In related news, Democratic lawmakers and a number of legal experts have sharply criticized the Trump administration for threatening to suspend habeas corpus, the right of a person to challenge their detention in court. Trump advisor Stephen Miller made the threat Friday.
The Constitution is clear, and that, of course, is the supreme law of the land, that the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus can be suspended in a time of invasion. So I would say that's an option we're actively looking at. Look, a lot of it depends on whether the courts do the right thing or not.
Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy responded by saying, quote, the slope of to despotism can be slippery and quick, unquote. Ramesa Ozturk, the Tufts University PhD student and Fulbright scholar who was abducted near her home by immigration agents in March, has been released from an ICE jail in Louisiana and returned to Boston. Ramesa Ozturk, a Turkish national, was targeted for co-writing a student article in Tufts newspaper as a response to Gaza solidarity protests. She spoke Saturday from Boston's Logan International Airport, flanked by her lawyers and Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, as well as Congressmember Ayanna Pressley.
America is the greatest democracy in the world, and I believe in those values that we share. I have faith in the American system of justice. This has been a very difficult time for me, for my community at Tufts, at Turkey. But I'm so grateful for all the support, kindness, and care.
Ramesa Ozturk was held for 6 weeks in Louisiana. The Vermont judge who ordered Ramesa Ozturk to be released on bail will now rule on whether her detention by ICE was illegal. Columbia University has suspended some 65 students who took part in a Palestinian solidarity protest at Butler Library last week. In addition, the university barred from campus another 33 people who took part in the action, including Columbia alumna and students from Barnard. Police were called in to violently crack down on the student activists, resulting in multiple protester injuries. Meanwhile, the University of Washington suspended 21 students who protested their school's ties with weapons maker Boeing. But despite the intensifying repression from schools, students are continuing their actions. At Yale, at least six students have launched a hunger strike demanding Yale divest from Israel and protect free speech on campus. Students at UCLA have also launched a hunger strike, joining students at other schools in California. This is Palestinian UCLA student Maya Abdallah.
To the people of Gaza, I want you to know that the students have not and will not give up, and we will not stop until Palestine is free.
The United States and China have agreed to de-escalate their trade war and to slash their reciprocal tariffs by 115% for the next 90 days. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent spoke in Switzerland, where the U.S. engaged in high-level talks with China.
The consensus from both delegations this weekend is neither side wants a decoupling. And what had occurred with these very high tariffs, as Ambassador Greer said, was the equivalent of an embargo, and neither side wants that.
President Trump has confirmed reports that the royal family of Qatar may soon give him a $400 million luxury 747 plane known as the Flying Palace to replace Air Force One temporarily. ABC News reports the plane may be the most valuable gift ever given to the United States from a foreign government. According to multiple press reports, the plane would be initially given to the Air Force, which will need to refurbish the plane, which will cost millions. The plane will later be donated to President Trump's presidential library, meaning Trump could continue using the plane after leaving office. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer denounced the gift, writing on social media, quote, nothing says America first like Air Force One, brought to you by Qatar. It's not just bribery. It's premium foreign influence with extra legroom, unquote. Reports of the deal come as President Trump prepares to head to the Middle East to visit Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and United Arab Emirates. The Kurdish militant group, the PKK, has announced it'll formally disarm and end a 40-year armed struggle against Turkey. PKK leaders formally voted to disband following a call in February by its jailed leader, Abdullah Öcalan, to lay down arms. Since 1984, fighting between Turkey and the PKK has killed more than 40,000 people. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, more than 100 people have died in severe flooding in the eastern part of the DRC. Most of the victims were children and elderly people. In Sudan, attacks by the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces killed at least 33 people in recent days. On Friday, an air attack killed 14 members of the same family in Darfur. On Saturday, the RSF struck a prison in El Obeid, killing at least 19 people. A group of 49 white South Africans are set to arrive today in the United States after being granted refugee status by the Trump administration, which has suspended refugee resettlement for almost everyone else in the world. The Trump administration claims white Afrikaners face racial discrimination, even though South Africa's white minorities still own the vast majority of farmland decades after the end of apartheid rule. The South African-born Trump advisor, the richest man in the world, multi-billionaire Elon Musk, has even accused South Africa's government of promoting what he calls white genocide. Musk's grandfather moved his family to South Africa after embracing the country's apartheid system. In Mexico City, mothers and relatives of disappeared people marked Mother's Day by marching in Mexico City to demand justice for more than 124,000 people who remain unaccounted for in Mexico. This is a mother named Veronica Campos.
I'm searching for my son. I came here because I'm missing my son, Jose Antonio. I cannot celebrate when my son is missing.
And Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is warning flights could be disrupted across the United States as major problems continue at Newark Liberty International Airport. On Sunday, backup air traffic control system momentarily failed again at Newark. It was the third system outage in less than 2 weeks. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, Newark Mayor Ross Baraka was arrested Friday by masked federal immigration police when he joined three Congress members set to tour a newly reopened private 1,000-bed Immigration and Customs Enforcement jail. He was detained 4 hours. We'll speak with Mayor Baraka and one of the three representatives who tried to prevent his arrest, Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman. The 80-year-old cancer survivor now faces arrest herself. Stay with us.
Yesterday I saw you standing there with your hand against the pane, looking out the window at the rain. And I wanted to tell you all your tears were not in vain, but I guess we both knew we'd never be the same.
Peaceable Kingdom by Patti Smith at our Democracy Now! 20th anniversary celebration almost a decade ago at Riverside Church. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Newark Mayor Ross Baraka, the mayor of the largest city in New Jersey, was arrested Friday and detained by masked federal immigration police when he went to a newly reopened private 1,000-bed Immigration and Customs Enforcement jail called Delaney Hall. He says he was there to support three Congress members set to tour the facility, Bonnie Watson Coleman, LaMonica McIver, and Rob Menendez. Newark Mayor Baraka says he was asked to leave the premises and did so. He'd gone to the other side of the fence, the Newark public property side, away from the Congress members, was on a public street when he was seized by officers in a chaotic scene.
Now, circle the mayor.
What?
Circle the mayor.
What the hell?
Circle the mayor. Circle the mayor. Circle the mayor. Absolutely not.
Do not call this
woman. Congresswoman. And she's right in front of you.
As the ICE agents handcuffed Mayor Baraka, the three Democratic Congress members, Menendez, McIver, and Coleman, tried to wrap their arms around him to protect him. After he was arrested, a crowd of hundreds gathered demanding he be released. He was charged with trespassing and later released and addressed supporters.
I didn't know that this morning when I woke up that I'll be in this detention facility here, that I would end up incarcerated for something that I believe is my democratic right to show up and speak out against what I think was happening there, a violation of city and state laws. And a lack of transparency.
Meanwhile, a Department of Homeland Security spokesperson accused the New Jersey Congress members at the scene of assaulting ICE officers, warned they still may face arrest. We'll speak with 80-year-old Congressmember Bonnie Watson Coleman in a few minutes. But we begin with Newark Mayor, gubernatorial candidate Ross Baraka. Welcome to Democracy Now! I'm glad I'm not speaking to you behind bars, where you are in Newark, Mayor, if you can start off by talking about why you were there outside Delaney Hall, what this place is, and what happened.
Well, I actually go there every day, every morning. I would have been there this morning. I go at 7 a.m. with fire code officials, UCC officials, health inspectors, to get in, as it is our right to inspect the facility for them to apply for a certificate of occupancy. We're in court with GEO right now because they're defying city ordinances. I went back that afternoon because I was invited to participate in the press conference that the Congress people were going to have after they toured the facility themselves. I went there for that purpose. We waited there over an hour, almost an hour and a half, with no incident, without any incident whatsoever. I was allowed to come inside and stand there by the gate without incident for over an hour, waiting for the Congress people to come out. When the special agent in charge, Patel, showed up, he escalated the situation. There, the Congress people tried to reason with him, surrounded me inside, and finally got him to agree for me to leave. I left. On the other side of the fence, they reversed that decision and made a decision to come around and, in fact, arrest me. And so they did. They arrested me, and the Congress people and other bystanders tried to shield me from being arrested. But, I did. And I think it was better that happened, because it would have probably gotten worse than it was getting while I was out there.
Now, we heard you went to the Newark side, and you represent Newark. You were on the public property side. Someone got a call next to you, right? One of the officials got a call. Now, let's be clear. The U.S. attorney for New Jersey there is Alina Hubba, the former private lawyer for President Trump. If you can explain what you understand took place, because that seemed to escalate things when that agent was on the phone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You could see that it was resolved, that I was leaving. I left. I was on the other side. When he got the call, I was already on the other side of the fence. In turn, got a phone call. Right after the phone call, they proceeded to come after me. When they first came, they came right up to me anyway. And this idea that other people got arrested is not true. I was the only one arrested there. And so they targeted me specifically. Right. So it after the phone call, it did escalate.
So the interim U.S. attorney, Alina Hubba, said on X that you, quote, ignored multiple warnings from Homeland Security investigations to remove, she said, to remove himself, unquote, from the detention center, again, which, as you point out, is run by the GEO group. She added, quote, no one is above the law. Please respond, Mayor.
Yeah, she's right. No one is above the law. Neither are they. Neither is the GEO group is not above the law. The president or any of these people. Well, we have a dispute with GEO because they're violating city laws. And we are fighting with them in court. And ICE is interfering and interceding in that, unfortunately, without the judges, you know, whatever the judge says, they are doing the opposite of that. You know, I sat on that, sat inside of that fence there for over an hour, and nobody told me to move. Nobody told me to get out. Nobody questioned me. Nobody came up to me and said anything to me. I sat there for a very long time before that agent showed up there. And so it was clearly their, you know, intention to escalate it and to focus everything on me and to target me. And that's exactly what happened.
Now, I wanted to clarify something, Mayor Baraka. A lot of the news reported that you were arrested during a protest.
Right.
But in fact, you weren't protesting. Can you explain the history of this GEO facility, which wasn't always owned by GEO, and why you say they don't have the proper documentation to hold 1,000 prisoners?
Right. Yeah, I was not protesting, actually. And I could be protesting. I speak to the protesters when I get there. But at the end of the day, the GEO, the facility used to be a drug rehab center and a halfway house for people that were incarcerated that were coming home, and this was a transition from there to come home. So short, very short periods of time that they spent there to transition home. They converted it or in the process of trying to convert it into this kind of detention facility, over 1,000 beds in a detention facility. They had a certificate of occupancy 20 years ago. And according to city ordinance, they need an updated certificate of occupancy. In fact, we need annual updates of certificates of occupancy, not 20 years later. We challenged them on that. Our folks showed up before I even came there. We sent our people there, refused to let them in. So I needed to see that for myself. I came down there once with our folks and watched them turn them away and turn me away at the same time. We went to court summarily after that. The courts had us in conversation, forced them to make them have an initial inspection. We did an initial inspection and found a few violations. After we find violations, we have to come back and check those violations. And we told them that they needed to apply for a certificate of occupancy. They refused to do that. So this is a dispute that has to be settled in court, not by Alina Haba, not by, the ICE or by the president, but by a court. A court settles these disputes, and it has not settled it yet. We're still in court now.
The detention facility, the largest on the East Coast, 1,000 beds, is near Newark Airport. I mean, maybe the only hope for the detainees is that there have been so many outages at Newark that they wouldn't be able to fly them out. But I wanted to ask you about the history. In 2021, advocates helped enact a law prohibiting New Jersey from renewing or signing detention contracts with ICE in New Jersey. Now, a federal district judge struck down parts of that in 2023. After private prison operators like CoreCivic, which operates another immigration jail in the state, sued. The state attorney general is appealing the ruling, invoking the 10th Amendment that stops the federal government from commandeering state resources for its purposes. That is, I'm reading from the Washington Post. Can you respond to what you still are asking for? In a moment, we're going to speak with one of the Congress members who are still threatened with arrest, who did tour the facility. But what you're demanding ICE give you now in terms of documentation, what you're concerned about is happening to the detainees inside.
Well, we want them to start filling out the application for the certificate of occupancy that allows us to come in and do full inspections, health inspection, fire inspection, make sure they have the proper, procedures that are happening there. If women are there, if children are there, you know, how many people are in there, how many beds that they have there, if the sprinkler system works, if the gas system is hooked up correctly, the electrical system is hooked up, if the elevators are working properly. All of these things are a part of what a certificate of occupancy allows us to do. If they're using the property for the stated use, or if they're using it for anything else, do they need to go through the zoning board or a planning board? And this is what happens for every facility, even a new home that you build and open. Everybody has to have a CO or a temporary certificate of occupancy, and they have neither. So we're in dispute about this. I do think that the state should go further here and demand or set write a law that says that we can't have private prisons in New Jersey in the first place. I think we should go as far as that in this state. Mm.
I know you have to go, but I want to just get you to respond to a very ominous moment right before you were arrested. It was on Friday with the White House official Stephen Miller saying he's looking into, that the Trump administration is looking into suspending habeas